Thanks, Fitz. Thanks, Nicole. Thanks, Tantrums. It's 106.7 K-Rock. It is K-R-O-Q here on a Monday morning. There are two ways to look at it when you cheat death. One is how incredibly lucky you are, and the other is, why do I have such bad luck that I was in that position that I almost died? They're flip sides of the same coin, I think.
Do you look at it as luck?
Yes, I think so. I think so. But I mean, like, I see stories all the time, for instance, somebody who was in the terror attacks in Paris and then is also in the terror attacks in Orlando. You know, somebody like that. Do you look at them as going, wow, they're so lucky that they lived through two things and survived? Or do you look at that as how unlucky does a person have to be involved in both of those incidents? You know,
also, I don't want to hang out with that person ever.
Right. There's some of that.
Yeah.
Well, there's a man who made the news this week. His name is, if I could find it, Kyle Cook. His name is Kyle Cook. He lives in Lakeland, Florida. And he has had three incidents in the last 4 years that could have killed him. He was struck by lightning. He was bitten by a venomous spider. Almost lost his hand in that case, by the way. And he was attacked by a rattlesnake in his backyard.
He needs to stay in.
And the only reason he didn't get more seriously injured by the rattlesnake is because he's a fat ass. And apparently the snake did not puncture his layers of fat to get the poison into his bloodstream. But, I mean, what's going on with Kyle Cook?
Yeah. He makes me nervous.
He makes me nervous, too. So let's find out more about why this dude is having such bad luck. We have Mr. Cook on the phone with us from Lakeland, Florida right now. Hi, Kyle. Welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show, sir. How are you?
I want to thank you for that kind introduction. That was great. Especially the fat ass part. Thank you so much.
Well, what I meant was, in this case,
I know what you meant. It was all too clear what you meant. And just go and get on with it.
A self-professed bigger guy.
That's right.
Cook said doctors told
him to say self-professed fat ass.
All right.
Say that.
Okay. The snake's fangs did not penetrate beyond the layer of fatty tissue. So I guess I saw that and thought fat ass. I apologize. I didn't mean to offend you, Kyle.
Who could be offended by that?
All right. So how about when you were struck by lightning? How did that happen? What did that feel like, Kyle?
That weren't no good. It was, I always say, people, it was like Mike Tyson hitting me with a jackhammer in the jaw.
Oh, wow.
The lightning struck a puddle of water where I was driving a sweeper truck and went up through the sweeper's metal bristles and then hit my left hand and knocked me backward about 6 feet before I woke up about a minute later after I was unconscious.
Unconscious by lightning. I mean, that is a thing that kills a lot of people every year, lightning does.
Absolutely. The doctors say had hit me more directly, wouldn't have been such a good turnout.
Did you just feel lucky to be alive?
Lucky. It's like, oh, I'm the luckiest man in the world right now.
Do you live your life any differently?
No.
Okay.
No, I just go about my business, and that's when I got bit by the rattlesnake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being bit by the brown recluse spider.
Right. It was a brown recluse spider. And by the way, Kyle, you lost your job because of how much time you had to take off because of the spider bite.
Yeah, they had to drain the wound. I had a lot of buildup of toxins, Doc said. It became very painful, so I couldn't really work
okay.
so much.
Okay, so the spider and the lightning, and then you were just mowing the lawn one day, and you stepped on a snake, and then you had to go to poison control, the whole deal.
Yeah,
all right.
You know, my whole life, I got bit by an alligator once.
An alligator?
Yeah, I caught it while I was fishing and brought it up in the boat and it bit me.
Oh, my God, I didn't even know about that.
I was bitten by a friend's Burmese python that I was trying to feed. I was trying to give him a mouse. And he thought my hand, I guess, was better, tastier looking.
Right, you got to stay away from snakes on purpose. With the
I
way
do. I just stay away from everything now. I just go about my.
Oh, Kyle! What? Kyle, what happened?
Hello! Lightning! Lightning!
Oh, not again!
No!
Oh, that hurt. I'm just going to take a rest and sit down and clean my machine gun.
Oh, no. Oh.
Kyle, be careful. Come on.
No.
You shouldn't be around guns.
Oh, those bullets just missed my head.
Oh, thank God.
I'm so lucky. I'm just going to cut down a tree in my front yard with my chainsaw, I think. Just...
No.
Why are you doing that, Kyle? Come on.
Oh, no.
Be careful.
Oh, the chainsaw hit your foot?
Yeah, ow.
What about the tree, though? Where's the tree?
The tree went over, finally. Okay. I was glad to say it, but it had a bee's nest in it.
Oh, no.
My foot. Lightning.
Oh,
hey, what's
Kyle.
This thing here? Oh, dear.
guillotine!
A guillotine!
Someone put a guillotine on my lawn. I didn't see that coming whatsoever.
Oh, is that a rabid dog?
It's a rabid dog!
Oh, no!
He's attracted to the blood from the...
Oh, Kyle, get inside.
I can't move. I can't. Hey, help me. Oh, trying to wave down a car and it ran over me.
Oh, no.
It is so unexpected and completely painful. I'm very lucky to be alive. There's a war breaking out.
Oh, right there in your yard. What are the chances? Kyle? You're right? Oh, no. Kyle.
Kyle?
Uh-oh. This is not good.
No. Wow.
I don't just want to hang up on him without knowing he's okay.
We should wait.
And this war just broke out in his neighborhood.
They missed me by that much.
Beer Mug was at the Hollywood Christmas Parade and got some interviews, and we've got those for you coming up in a half hour.
Does he really talk to Santa Claus?
Yep.
Oh, can't wait.
Sure does.
Hey, speaking of Santa, do you mind if I ask this question? I was listening to the radio the other day, and somehow they got on the topic of holiday safety tips. And somebody gave out advice that sounds suspect to me, and I want to know if you guys think this person is right or not.
Okay.
They were saying if you are a type of person who uses a live Christmas wreath, you hang it on your window in your house, whatever. Mm-hmm. One way to keep it looking fresher longer is to trap the water inside by spraying it with hairspray.
Right.
Have you heard that before?
Yes. With flowers. I heard that with flowers.
And hairspray, really?
All I thought when I heard that is, hey, let's make it a fire hazard. Like, it's not already dangerous enough to have that in your house. Now let's spray it with hairspray, and I just feel like it would be super easy for something like that to go up in flames.
I mean, if you're smoking at the time when you put it on, maybe.
As a lot of people do, by the way.
But I think once you spray it on and it dries, it's all right. I don't think
really?
It's... Really?
Because I felt like hairspray was super flammable, and that's why I was concerned about that. And then I started thinking about then I just started getting all paranoid and worried about, this time of year.
Because, like you should.
Well, I mean, I live in a 150-year-old house, and now I've got a big dead tree in the middle of it, and I'm worried, like, how am I going to not die somehow this season? So I asked Dave, is there anyone we can talk to about...
I'm sorry, you have a tree, and so your thought is, how am I not going to die?
Yes.
Okay. I feel like we skipped about 10 steps in there.
Well, the part where it catches on fire and burns this mother down.
I see.
So I says to Dave, I says, who can we talk to that will set my mind at rest so that I know how to be safe and our listeners can be safe throughout the holiday season? So we have Alan Tullis on the line from the American Safety Board, and he's kind enough to join us on K-Rock right now. Hello, Mr. Tullis.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Happy holidays to you, sir. This is a real concern this time of year. There are a lot of things that can go wrong. You're talking about Christmas lights and trees and fire and all sorts of stuff, right?
Sadly, yeah. The holiday season does bring with it certain dangers and concerns that we don't have to face during the remainder of the year, because you are adding additional potential dangerous elements to your home with decorations and lighting and trees, as you mentioned. So, but, there's no reason you can't have a happy and safe holiday as long as you follow some simple rules and keep caution in mind.
All right, and I want to hear some of your rules, but can you answer my question about spraying the hairspray on a wreath? Because that still strikes me as dangerous.
Well, most people use their wreaths for decorating outside of the home.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're putting hairspray, as I heard you say, on a wreath and you're hanging on your front door or outside your home, there's very little danger of a fire hazard in that situation. Most hairspray is more flammable when it's being sprayed because the propellants themselves are much more flammable.
Okay.
But some hairsprays do contain alcohol, and of course that is flammable. And if you put it on a dry wreath, a tinder like that, and it's exposed to open flame,
mm-hmm.
of course you do run the risk, but not necessarily more so than you would otherwise. It's just a good idea to keep anything like a wreath or a tree away from open fire, and that's candles, fireplaces, that kind of thing.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. What else do you have for us and our listeners to make sure that they make it to January 1st?
Well, we are talking about trees. Try to check for freshness if you're having a live tree.
Okay.
You want the tree to be green. You want the needles to be hard to pull from the branches. Make sure that it gets plenty of water if you put it in your home. Also, if you're getting an artificial tree, make sure you look for a label that says it is fire resistant. That's important.
Okay.
And also, when you're decorating your tree, keep in mind that many ornaments that you use on trees are, in fact, blown glass. And so those can be dangerous, not only to children and to pets, but even to adults as they hang them up on the tree. Like,
ow! God
damn it!
Son of a bitch!
What, Alan, what's going on?
I shattered a glass ornament in my hand.
you gotta be careful with that.
Why did you have a glass ornament in your hand?
Because I was demonstrating how to hang it. Okay,
my bad.
Oh, that's a tendon right there. That finger's never going to bend again.
Okay. Oh, this is awful.
Don't worry about it. I'm fine. Also, when you're hanging lights on your tree, you need to make sure that you inspect them carefully before you hang them. Make sure there's no frayed wires or... don't never use electric bulbs, by the way, on a metallic tree if you happen to have a metallic tree.
Because, I didn't know that.
Yes, if there is a short somewhere in that system, the electrical tree will act as a conductor. And if you touch the tree at all, you could be electrocuted. So make sure they're safe. And I would buy new ones every year because if you use old ones like these, like this.
Oh, that's a shock. That is shocking.
You got to be more careful, sir.
Don't do that.
So don't do that.
Don't do that.
Okay.
If you're cutting down your own tree this year, if you're using an axe or a chainsaw.
I hope not. Oh, no. Come on now. You don't have to.
That chainsaw went through my leg. I got to hide a tourniquet. Just going to tie a tourniquet.
Okay. Is this a bad time? Do you need to hang up?
I'm good.
Okay.
If you have people visiting your home during the holiday season,
right?
Make sure there's plenty of safe parking. Yeah, don't have people parking your driveway because in slippery conditions like ice, they can come right through the wall. Burn the car in my living room. My other leg. My other leg.
You only had one good leg.
I have no good leg. If you're using a guillotine to decorate your home for the holiday season,
what?
Don't put any of your limbs in the guillotine.
Don't do that.
That's my arm.
What? Why would you do?
I don't have an arm anymore.
Nobody has a guillotine.
I did that Christmas guillotine.
There's no such thing.
No. That's a
What's happening? The house is on fire! No, this is tragic.
My reef!
What?
The reef blew up from airspray.
Wow!
It was open flame. It was too close to an open flame.
Wow!
And I just...
You all right?
And also for the holiday dinner, make sure you don't thaw your turkey or ham or anything on an open table. You make sure you thaw it in a refrigerator because... You can get food poisoning and botulism, and more people get sick every year from...
Nope. A rough holiday for Alan. Seriously. Okay. All right. Okay.
Worse than the guillotine.
All right.
Happy holidays.
You can win a 4-pack of Disneyland Resort Park Hopper passes, plus join K-Rock for a private party at the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror. As we prepare to say goodbye to that. Details at KROQ.com. Your chance to win is coming up in about 6 minutes from right now on The Kevin and Bean Show. Pretty good deal. There's a heads up for you. If you love Disneyland, stick around.
Here's the headline. And I find it weird that I'm on the side of ISIS in this particular case. But ISIS hunts for cats in Mosul after council issues fatwa.
How dare you?
They've issued a fatwa over on cats.
Now, first of all,
cats suck.
Cats are awesome. They're wonderful, wonderful animals.
Great
pets. No, they're the best. You've never even had a cat, by the way.
You know why?
Because they're awesome, and you're missing out on what wonderful, sweet pets they are.
Sure.
The best headline I've seen on this story is Apocalypse Meow, first of all. But for folks who aren't familiar
with what goes on...
Because maybe not everybody's into ISIS the way, you know, beer mug is. A fatwa is where if you're living by strict ancient Islamic law, like you're in the, you know, the 8th century, you go to a cleric and you say, hey, who should we be killing? And he says, you know what? That guy's a bad dude. Don't care for her. That organization's got to go. And in this case, no more cats. And that's how it works. And then that's your rules. It's been handed down to you. Hey, you're supposed to kill these people because we have issued a fatwa against them.
I don't want anyone to kill people, but I'm fine with ridding yourself of cats. Cats are the devil's
pet. That is an awful thing. They're so
cats
cute.
Cats are the devil's pet.
It's so furry and so funny.
Possessed by Satan.
Well, we wanted to find out more about this. So we don't have a specific person. It's kind of hard to get somebody from ISIS to go on the record. So are we just dialing up?
I think we're just calling Mosul, yeah.
Let's call Mosul then.
Hello?
I felt like we might hear a phone ringing or something.
Hello?
We're not calling. They're already on the phone?
I don't know.
Okay, let's see.
Hello?
Hello, ISIS.
Oh. I'm sorry, what?
Hello, ISIS. Can I help you? How can I help you today? Thank you for calling ISIS. Your phone call is important to us. How may I help you?
This is the Kevin and Bean Show at K-Rock. We're in America. Is that okay?
Sure. Why not?
Oh, all right. I was worried that there was. I heard something about death to America. I want to make sure we were cool.
Of course, death to America. That goes without saying.
Okay.
Look, you know, you're on the phone. What am I going to do? I'm here in customer service. There's nothing I can do about
ISIS
it.
ISIS has customer service?
Of course we do. What do you think we are? Some sort of backward organization full of religious zealots who are living the Stone Age?
Yes.
Pretty much.
Exactly.
All right. Fair enough.
All right. So this new fatwa against cats.
Right.
It is said this decree is in line with the vision, ideology, and beliefs of Islam. Can you please explain, sir?
Yes. Cats blow.
Agreed.
And we have discovered that cats are just pig dogs.
Okay.
Cats are the Americans of the animal world, and we just hate them. So we have put out a fatwa here in Mosul that you can no longer breed indoor cats and don't breed outdoor cats.
Okay.
And don't forget the whole cat thing. Just let it go.
But in recent years, hasn't part of your recruitment there for ISIS been to put up photographs of some of your soldiers with cats? I mean, you're trying to bring people in by showing how fun and furry they are.
Yes, that was a huge mistake. We said, let's make us look more sympathetic. Give us kittens to hold in pictures.
Right.
Everyone will come and join the ISIS. And so we got some cats. And you know, these things, those cats, they have sex with each other.
Right.
And next thing you know, you have cats and cats and cats and more cats.
Right.
So I said to our leader, Ahmed Al-Jarro, I said, you have to...
What's your leader's name?
Ahmed Al-Jarro.
Okay.
How about that?
And we said, what are we going to do with these cats? And he said, fatwa. So whenever we have a problem, we just issue another fatwa.
I see.
Okay. But wouldn't it just be easier to, you know, maybe spay and neuter the cats just so you can keep your cats that are pets, but
you
maybe...
think that would be easier? For one of us to go to veterinary college and learn how to spay and neuter cats and then start some sort of clinic in Mosul, then capture the feral cats, bring them somehow into cages into the clinic,
right,
and then one by one spay and neuter the cats. You think that would be the easy way for us
to go? I mean, when you say it like that, it sounds like it may not be.
There's other easy ways to handle this.
Oh, no.
The problem is now gone.
Oh, no, please don't do that. That's awful.
That's the one bites the dust.
Oh, come on. Those are innocent little harmless animals.
Now they are now, yes.
Please stop.
Oh, I can barely see for all the bowls of antifreeze I've laid around here.
Oh, no.
Wow. There's a whole bunch of cats.
I'm starting to get a bad vibe about ISIS. This is a populist meow.
It's meow again.
I hate this.
Anybody need some bags of kitty litter? We got some left over.
Yeah, no thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Ho, ho.
Oh, 7 minutes.
Not yet, Jimmy. Not yet. Sorry. Give me that theme song we love so much, if you would, please. Not that one either. Seriously. Is this our first day on the job?
Well, in fairness, yes, there aren't too many
from
people.
Hollywood, it's Jimmy Kimmel Live!
Who have two theme songs, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Thank you
very
much.
He is the host of
Jimmy
Kimmel Live Late Nights on ABC, now in its 14th season, and the host of the upcoming 89th Annual Academy Awards in February, also on ABC. Ladies and gentlemen, our friend Jimmy Kimmel joins us.
Thank you very much. It's wonderful to be here. I got lost again. How many times have I been here to this radio station?
25?
Yeah, probably at least. And once again, I got lost on
really?
The way here. And it is literally, I drive down one street, Crescent Heights, and then I make one right on Venice.
Yeah. You've always been able to get lost anywhere, anytime.
It's one of my great abilities. I'm like, whatever Waze is, I am the opposite of Waze. And now I'm so reliant on it that I use it to get out of the driveway and into my car.
It says, walk five steps and then sit in car.
Jimmy, forgive me if this is a dumb question, but honestly, you're Jimmy Kimmel. Why don't you just have a driver to go everywhere? Why can't you just hop in the back of a limo and let them take you where they take you?
Well, Bean, some people like to feel the dirt of the people. On them. Do you know what I mean? I don't mean
that
literally.
How much dirt of the people did you get on you today?
A lot of dirt on the people. Yeah, I washed it all off in the shower this morning.
I just feel like if you could have a driver, you should have a driver. That's what I
just feel like. If you could go outside, you should go outside.
Boom!
Have different feelings on these things.
James, I know we've talked in the past about how demanding your job is. You're only on television for an hour a day, but it's clear when you watch the show that you've pre-taped a lot of stuff. And
we work sometimes 2-3 hours to put
that's insane.
I'm going to say even more than that. I'm going to say you're working at least a 12-hour day every day. You're in your 14th season. Do you feel close to death?
Is this the opposite of a motivational speech that you're about to give me?
Is it catching up with you? Are you at a point of exhaustion that you didn't think was possible?
If you really think you're tired, then add a 2-year-old into the mix, and then realize you weren't actually tired.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank God you're not having another one.
And
right?
then take your wife pregnant again. The old-fashioned way.
Congratulations.
Congrats, Jimmy.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. Yes. Yeah.
How do you get a yes from a woman? I still haven't figured that one out.
I don't ask.
Jimmy.
I just wait around like a hound.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, when there's meat on the table?
What's the secret to...
That's a disturbing visual.
Yes, it is. Very much so. What's the secret...
I'll hump a leg if I have to.
...to getting so much done, Jimmy? Are you just hyper-organized? Is that how you're able to do it?
The secret is I love what I do. You know, and when you love what you do, when you love sitting in front of your computer reading stories about Donald Trump all day, it's easy to get up. I mean, I really feel like I don't get out of bed. I rise from bed every morning.
Wow. Yeah. That's
and I think that's something that everybody should try
for. It's also a lie.
It is a lie, yes. Yeah. But I don't know. I just do it. I mean, you have an audience there at the end of the day every day, and you don't want to bomb. So you work all day, and then you try to go home and work on the next show.
All right.
It's a lot of fun.
We had your cousin Sal.
People ask me if I'm having fun. I'm like, no, I'm not having fun. Of course I'm not having fun. None of this is fun. You think I want to talk to these people? And even if I do want to talk to them, you think I want to talk to them for 7 minutes? No.
Well, it's a good point.
And be judged by a lot of people.
And be judged. Yeah. Not just by people, but the Lord.
The Lord gave up on you a long, long time ago, Jim. All right, I have a personal question I want to ask, and I'm very sincere about this, Jimmy. We had your cousin Sal on the other day, and we were talking Cowboys with him because this has just been a dream season for him as a Cowboys fan.
You mean a nightmare season?
We thought. Yeah.
Dream season.
Yeah, and then he told us why it was rough for him because of his friendship with Tony Romo, and he talked about going on vacation with Tony Romo. And then I started thinking, that's what Jimmy has done with his celebrity, is he has reached out to the people that he grew up loving, like Howard Stern and Huey Lewis, and he's become actual friends with them. To the point where you visit them at their homes and you go out to dinner and you know your heroes now. And I was just wondering, is there someone who it hasn't worked with? You've tried to get that celebrity friend that you always wanted to be friends with, but no go.
You mean he met them and it was disappointing, or he never met them?
Or he just hasn't been able to put them in his circle of friends, even though he's TV's Jimmy Kimmel like he has with so many others.
Well, I wouldn't say that's necessarily my goal. I think it's more...
But if you have the opportunity to be friends with the people you love and admire...
This is a very stalker-esque type of scenario.
It is, yeah.
But, I mean, Huey Lewis is a perfect example of a guy who was your favorite singer for all those years, and now you guys are tight, you know?
But it's not like I'm on Tinder trying to get these people to let me in their house, you know?
No, but you're in front of Huey Lewis's house with a boombox on your shoulder, right?
That's how you got that one going. But who have you failed to become friends with that you thought you might?
Oh, no one at all. I mean, except for every woman I tried to date in my whole life. But other than that, nobody.
Yeah. So there's no celebrity out there that you want to be friends with that you haven't been able to.
Men cannot resist my powers. Let's be honest. I mean, if I am interested in you being my friend, you line up to be my friend.
All right. That's fair enough.
That's that.
It doesn't matter how long the line is.
It doesn't matter. You guys know how much fun I am.
When you got the call that the Oscars thing was happening, you couldn't have been surprised, obviously. It seems like the last 10 years.
No, I absolutely was surprised.
You really? Were. Even after all the other hosting you've done with the Emmys?
Or maybe because of
ESPYs
that.
And everything else?
Well, I just looked at the timeline.
The Oscars take themselves very seriously.
And I figured they had something going already because we were, like, by the time they asked me to host the Oscars, on our show, we had already last year shot our Oscar bit with Chris Rock. He'd been in so long that he's already doing promotional stuff for it. So this is like, I don't know, we're way behind now, and I figured, oh, they have some big thing that they're going to announce. And I also, I was like, all right, well, if they haven't asked me by now, they're not going to ask me. Mm-hmm. So apparently, all I can assume, although everyone denies this, is that they asked like 14 people and they all said no. And then there was me. And then
they were like, Kimmel? who's calling?
And then I said, okay, yeah, I guess I'll do it. Now, and I'm going to do it.
Is that stressful?
Of course it is, yes.
When do you start working on it?
We've already started. In fact, you know my agent, James Baby Doll Dixon?
Yes.
Of course, yeah.
So Baby Doll, for some reason, comes out to help, I guess. I don't know. He lives in New York. He comes out. He stays in my house. And we have our first meeting with the Oscars producers. And in this meeting, we're going to watch old Oscar shows throughout the years and kind of figure out what worked well and what didn't work as well. Just kind of get a sense of what has been done. So we settle in, we're at my house, we're gathered around the TV, and we finally get the AV system working. And I'd say about 40 minutes in, there's the sound of loud snoring as Baby Doll has passed out.
Really?
On the couch, is snoring.
Between you and the Oscars people?
Yes, and the Oscars producers are looking over. And then I decided I would take a video of him and pour a lot of cold water onto his face. And then he started cursing at me. And then I know they looked around and said, well, maybe this one, maybe we should.
Right. I'm surprised they didn't go, we're going to back out now.
What is Billy Crystal's cell number still? 323? Because
what happens to your very, very popular, after the Oscars, Jimmy Kimmel Live show now?
Well, that's why I'm here. I'm asking you guys to host this show.
Oh, right.
I think it's time that America opened their arms. We'll figure something out. There will be something.
There will be
something.
Yeah.
What's that job pay hosting the Oscars, Jimmy?
You want to know what it really pays?
I imagine you get a ton of dough for that.
It pays $15,000.
No.
Yeah.
You lie.
No, I'm not lying.
Is that
a joke? I would have guessed $500,000.
Is that a joke?
Is that a joke?
Really?
Are you kidding me?
The only thing I can think is they feel like they're doing you a favor by letting you host it.
Yes, yes. That's what they mentioned, yeah.
So why?
That's how they put it.
Why don't they just pay you nothing? I mean, really?
You know why? I think it's illegal to pay nothing.
They have to pay you at least minimum wage for the hours you put into preparing, I guess. Are you kidding me? I thought that was a huge
I know
payday.
We sound like jerks, like complaining about the fact that you only get paid $15,000 for what amounts to being one night on television. But
right. But when you look at the astronomical numbers that people make in the entertainment industry, you just assume that you've now stepped into that rarefied air.
I'm also going to say that I'm not sure I was supposed to reveal this.
Okay.
All right.
We'll edit it out. Don't worry.
You know what? Nobody told me not to reveal
it.
So
there you go.
Okay. I consider this their fault.
Well, that's a little bit of a scoop. Now, do you think that's what Chris Rock got and Billy Crystal and the other hosts?
That's what they told me, yeah.
They're lowballing Jimmy.
Well, that's what I wondered. Because he's the backup host.
Yeah, I wonder if you get a raise if you do it more than once. Like, we're going to give you a 3% raise.
We can get Jimmy. No, $15,000, though. All right.
Well, look, I know that we'll be talking to you again before the Oscars. So let's take care of some business here. Can you check out in the hall, Jim, and see if the next guest is here?
Hold on. Let me just take a look. Yes, he's out there. He is out there. Yeah,
bring him in.
Great news.
Bring him in.
Ho, ho, ho.
Look at this, ladies and gentlemen.
Merry Christmas.
Santa Carl.
Well, what the hell going on here? Look at this. You know what? Santa Carl looks forward to this day all year long with Tammy May here. It's like being home for the holiday.
Well, we're grateful that you stopped by, Santa Carl. And I
Santa Carl love being here.
I know you
talk
do.
To all the boys and all the girls, too.
All right. Now, we're going to open up the phone lines right now here on K-Rock at 1-800.
Open them up.
520-1067. What age group are we looking for the kids this year, Santa
Claus? Santa Claus, looking for a kid that could speak into phone.
Okay.
That's important because don't go put no 18, no, but don't put no fetus on phone.
Okay, fair
but
enough.
Also, young enough that they don't trick or treat no more. That's right. So Santa Claus looking for about 5, 6, 7 year old.
Sick? Okay.
What?
You want sick kids?
Yeah, sick kid too. And Santa Claus get very teary eyed when he think about sick kid at the holiday time.
All right, so 1-800-520-1067. You've got a kid in that age range who can talk on the phone to Santa Claus. He'll try to
talk to him. And tell Santa Claus what you want for Christmas.
There you go. All right, quick break. Santa Claus talks to the kids right after this on K-Rock.
I feel like now it's our turn.
Yeah, go ahead and hit whatever button you need to, Kevin, to get this thing on the road.
Here comes Santa Claus. Here comes Santa Claus for the boys and girls. He's got a sleigh full of toys and goodies and a bag of squirrels. He don't care who the children are, he loves them all the same. So be glad and don't be sad when Santa screws up your name. Santa Claus, Santa Claus, Santa Claus.
It is, in fact,
ho, 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 Santa Claus, love that song.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It is the most wonderful time of the year here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our old friend, Santa Claus, for we think, we did the math, we think it's 18 years in a row you've been talking to the kids here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
That's too many years.
It's a lot of years,
that's
Santa Claus.
Too many.
A lot of years.
Keep on doing this same old damn thing.
All right. Well, let's.
And it don't even make no sense. That's a hell of a thing right there.
It doesn't at all.
That's the best part.
Let's meet the youngsters, and I'm going to urge you again to remember that they're very young. They're 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, Santa Claus, so please be careful.
Because... Santa Claus, always careful, and Santa Claus always say safety first.
Okay,
that's right.
Well, I don't think I've ever heard you say that.
That's what Santa Claus do always say, safety first.
Okay.
That's right.
I want you to shoot a gun,
mm-hmm. and that's a fun thing for a kid to do, little kid,
shoot a gun. That's what I mean. That's bad advice.
Squirrel right out of tree and Santa Claus been eating so much squirrel this here year. What with climate change, that squirrels are so plump and so good right now. Santa Claus will make a squirrel smoothie every morning. Right there in the Vitamix, and that's so good. Take it all right down.
That sounds good.
The bones liquefy.
Okay. All right. Let's move on, Santa. I want to introduce you a little Gemma. She is 5 years
old.
Little Gemma is 5. She's calling you from Pasadena today, and she's very excited to get Santa Claus on the phone.
Wow. Hello there, little Gemmy. How you doing right now? Hello? Okay. Tell Santa Claus, have you been nice or you have been not nice this year, and a.k.a. naughty this Christmas time?
Nice.
Oh, that's good, because that's what Santa likes, nice kid. Santa don't like them spoiled kids complaining, yelling, give me my iPad, let me look at your iPhone, let me see this, let me see that.
Right.
Santa Claus like good kids.
You're still on the phone with Gemma.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, Santa Claus will come down your chimney and bring you whatever the hell you want. Well, what do you want?
Thank you.
What?
What do you want?
Oh, you're welcome, little girl. That's what Santa Claus like, a kid who don't ask for no toy. That's what Santa Claus is going to bring you exactly what you're looking for this year. No toy. So that's good.
Well, ask Gemma again.
Who do you want for Christmas time, Gemma?
What do you want for Christmas time?
Yeah, what does that mean?
What's that, Gemma's lawyer?
I feel like we should move on.
I think we're going to have to. I'm sorry. Let's go to...
Yeah, that's right, Tammy. May I say... Santa Claus.
Allie McKay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go to... how about Nathan? He is on line one. He's from Gardena. Little Nathan is 6 years old, Santa Claus.
Hell kind of name Nathan for... Nathan, name for hot dog. That's not a name for boy.
Hello there, Nathan.
What the hell your parents do to you? They gonna have to make a big time this year for giving you that dang name, Nathan. Yeah,
it's not Nathan. From me.
What, Nathan?
It's not for me.
Oh, Nathan, that's a good move with Santa Claus. Ask for a gift, not for you. Make you seem like a good kid. So what do Nathan?
What the hell?
Is somebody poking Nathan with a tack?
I hope not.
These kids.
That would be weird.
These kids got ADD. That's a problem with kids today. They can't focus because they don't know how to use phone no more because of all the text and message.
Mm. So, Nathan, what do you want for Christmas?
I want a frog that is squishy.
What?
A pug?
A pug that is
squishy?
Okay, Santa Claus going to get you a bug that is squishy. Maybe a big old beetle, so when you step on it, it make that crunchy little sound. Like when Santa Claus put a squirrel in a blender. That's okay. A similar...
Let's not tell Nathan that story. Like the dog.
Well, no, Santa Claus not bringing no dog, but Santa Claus will bring bugs. Fill your whole stocking with bugs. It's going to be like the apocalypse.
Thank you, Nathan.
Okay, Nathan, keep being good.
Let's go to
apocalypse is the word you want to use.
What?
Not a little six-year-old.
Okay, right. Well.
How about some line eight? Do you go to the Valley, Santa Claus? Will you go to Burbank this year?
Santa Claus do go Burbank. Santa Claus like to go to Best Buy because he's the only one in there. That's right. Sometimes Santa Claus go hunting at Best Buy. Right.
I want you to meet little Jess. She is 4 years old, and she's on the phone, Santa Claus.
What the hell, Jeff? What you doing, Jeff?
No, Jess. It's a little girl, Jess.
What could Santa Claus bring you? Hi, Jeff. What could Santa Claus bring you for Christmas time?
A big Rebecca doll in the shopping cafe in the shopping kitchen.
A big red bucket of shopping kitchen. Well, that sounds good.
No, that's not what
Santa Claus bring a big red bucket, and then maybe you get out there and wash daddy car. When Santa Claus were a kid, he loved wash daddy car.
Is that right?
That's right.
And a bucket.
What? Yeah, you're going to get a bucket because you've been such a good little girl, and you can do whatever you want to poop in that bucket, you go right ahead.
No,
that's right. Okay, Jeff. So that's good.
And it's a big Rebecca American Girl doll. It's not a bucket. It's Rebecca.
Hello, Rebecca.
No, it's still Jess. It's still all right.
You know what? Damn, Santa Claus don't bring no sex dolls to no kids.
Okay, no, that's not
and
no
Santa Claus. You say big Rebecca. Okay. Santa Claus know what Bick talking about. Santa Claus watching you, Bick. Santa Claus know why you at home all
Bick
the time, never
man.
Coming out.
He's a bad man.
That's right, Bick.
Let's do one more. Let's go to live
Bick
three,
getting
please.
Up on that.
Los Feliz.
That dang thing. The decorator. That's what they call Bick.
The last caller is going to be a young man named Ashton.
What?
It's Ashton is on the phone.
Hold on, Ashcan. What's happening?
No, it's Ashton.
Ho, Ashcan. How you doing right now?
Ashton.
Have you been a little good boy or girl on Christmas time?
Yeah.
Okay. You been good to your sister?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have a sister? Santa Claus said, do you have sister?
Yes.
Okay, that's good, because otherwise, Ashcan lying to Santa Claus, and
right,
that's no good
that.
At all.
I'm trying to
okay.
trip him up.
So, Ashcan, what you want for Christmas time? Santa Claus love to bring you some good toy right down the chimney there.
Nerf gun.
What?
Nerf gun.
Oh, Nerf gun. That's a good gift right there. Nerf gun. Santa Claus love guns. Santa Claus, when growing up with children, Santa Claus, little Santa Claus Jr., little Santa Claus the Third, little Santa Carla, Santa Claus' daughter, little Santa Carla Chameleon. That's one. He got them all Nerf gun to practice shooting each other. And that's what Christmas
we
were, all about.
I don't think that's what Christmas
getting
is
getting together
all about.
With family time and shooting each other.
So that's a yes, then, for little Ashton.
Well, that's a hell of a yes right there. That's a whole hell of a yes right there, Ashton. Santa Claus, you just keep being good, and Santa Claus going to bring you all kind of weapons.
I also want...
What?
I want Nerf gun bullets.
Okay, yeah, well, of course they're going to be bullets with that Nerf gun. What the hell? What the hell kind of kid thinks Santa Claus forget bullets? Bring a kid gun without bullets? Oh, that's a hell of... That's like going to a restaurant, and all you get is plate. Okay. So Santa Claus would bring the bullets, and it'll be a whole hell of a raining down. It'd be like Fallujah.
All right.
It's going to be like Fallujah. Yeah.
Ashton, great news. All right. I don't know what you said, but thank you for calling.
Just keep pushing it now. Santa Claus want to go out with a bang. And,
okay, exactly.
You know.
All right. Thank you, Ashton. Thank you, all the little kids who called in. Ladies and gentlemen, Santa
Merry Christmas, everybody. And Merry Christmas to Kevin and Big. It's always so fun and with all everybody. And go see the Ghostbusters with the ladies on it. That's the Santa Claus number one movie of the year.
All right. That's thank you, Santa Claus.
Hey, boys and girls, have you heard about the new sensation that's sweeping the nation? It's called Kevining, and I'm going to show you how. Well, first you have to think like a Kevin, think like IQ,
till minus 11. You're Kevinine. You're Kevinine. You're Kevinine. You're Kevinine. Then you have to get a stupid goofy face and make sure you stare into outer space. You're Kevinine. You're Kevinine. You're Kevinine. You're Kevinine. And two thumbs up, and this is no joke. To finish it off, have a stroke. You're Kevinine. You're Kevinine. You're Kevinine. You're Kevinine.
I just had a stroke. Don't mock me.
What's Kevining? Saying wake up, you need to make
money. Hey! Strong.
Nice. By the way, that was pretty good.
That was pretty good. Right there.
I don't know where you guys were.
Right there, right now.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Right there, right now, right?
Right now, right here.
So what happened? What happened with Megan
Well,
Fox?
Kevin, look. When you leave,
I know, but
then it just goes unchecked. You're the dam that holds back the mighty river of creep. And when the dam is broken, then the river creep comes along and it washes away the township. And I hope you're happy.
Mm.
Okay. May I jump in here for just a second?
Sure.
Well, I didn't say anything creepy to Megan Fox.
Then why was she creeped out immediately upon talking to you on the phone? Immediately.
I spent a lot of time thinking about this over the weekend. I have not heard the tape since it aired, since we talked to her live on Friday morning. And none of you guys have heard it, too. So before we hear it, what was your impression, Ralph, of what went wrong with Megan Fox?
You are creepy. My impression.
No, but what do you think I did wrong to get this interview off on the wrong foot?
I can't tell you this enough. It's not the words you say.
Yeah.
It's the creep behind them.
Yeah.
You can say something that 9 out of 10 people would say that people would take as a completely innocuous statement, and yet the creep shines through.
But I think that's
the name of my new album. I hope you'll pick it up.
I think that's you having a bias
already
that I am creepy. So
let's
you are hearing everything through the filter of, oh, Bean's creepy, so
then,
that's creepy.
Let's say that's the case. Even if that's a given, I don't believe it to be the case, but let's say it is. What's Megan Fox's excuse then? Why does she get creeped out?
Well, I don't know what happened.
Right.
I don't know what happened.
Exactly.
Here's what I think.
Yes, please help me.
I think you were saying hello and to somebody that was on the phone that hasn't been on the show for 2 years, it felt too comfortable to her, which then made her think, oh, wait, do I know him like that? It was kind of her taken aback by the familiarity of your...
Someone being overly familiar in a strange social situation might come off as creepy
some
to some people. Okay,
could I just clarify?
Yes.
So you're saying hello is where Bean went wrong?
Oh, Kevin, you have no idea. You have no idea. It was instantaneous. It was creep concentrate. It was just add water.
My favorite tweet was, who had the over-under of 5 seconds?
for me to creep out someone on the phone.
Here's what I know about Bean. If we're in an elevator or someplace and some girls walk in, instantly, and they don't know why, they hate him.
That's what I'm saying.
They have no idea why. They don't know who he is, nothing.
It's like bees sensing fear or something. I don't know, whoever senses the fear.
I think
dogs,
it is
bees, whoever senses the bees. It's women and bees.
But here's, before we play the tape here, we're talking about Megan Fox's appearance Friday morning of the show. The guys think I was creepy. I don't think I was, but I also don't know how it went off the rails so fast. In my mind, I was thinking, okay, this is Megan Fox. I'm not going to say anything that could be remotely misconstrued because the guys always accuse me of being creepy, and she's the hottest woman
so
in the world.
So this is you being really careful not to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
This is me being very careful to be completely professional. But, Kevin, you have somebody on, and you're not friends. I'm not pretending we're friends. But you want to be professional but also friendly. Wouldn't you say that's
true?
Sure. Okay. That's all I'm trying to do here.
Did she take it that way?
Well, let's...
This is being, you know, it's nothing more obvious to me than a white knuckle drunk, which is the drunk who's saying, I'm not going to drink, I'm not going to drink, I'm not going to drink, I'm not going to drink. That guy's the obvious drunk. This is being white knuckling the creep.
That's what
it's
it
like,
is.
I'm not going to be creepy, I'm not going to be creepy, I'm not going to be creepy.
I can stop it if I really
Hello,
try.
How are you? And it just came out all creepy because that's all he's thinking about is don't be creepy.
All right, are we ready to revisit this massacre?
I can't wait. Here we go.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is back, you guys. The first movie was a huge hit. By all accounts, the second one is bigger and even better. It is called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows. It is in theaters everywhere today. We are delighted to welcome back to the program our favorite Tennessean, Megan Fox. Hey, Megan.
Hi, how are you?
How you been?
I've been great. How have you been?
Why does this feel like it got weird?
It got
right
weird
out of the
because
gate?
It was a very inquisitive how have you been. Like, she knows something. Megan,
no,
what
no,
do you
no.
know?
That was just, I wasn't trying to pry. I was just, hey, how you been? I thought that was an appropriate greeting.
I thought it was creepy.
It just
creepy.
Felt very, familial, almost like we're really close.
Right.
So then I felt obligated to ask you how you have been.
When you don't care, because none of us do, right?
Right, exactly. All right. So I already blew it. Well, Megan.
Wow.
All right, Kevin, you've heard it. What do you think happened?
I think she's dead on. I think she's perfect.
She read him.
How you been?
Yeah.
She read him in that like short that. Amount of time.
Yeah. How you been? Our favorite Tennessean, which is nothing anyone's ever said about anyone ever.
It's not a category.
Nope.
It's just not a thing.
No. I'd forgotten about that, by the way.
It's just a weird factoid that got thrown in her face.
I don't know where that came from.
Our favorite person with club thumbs. We'll just say that.
I don't know why her being from Tennessee was at all.
It was weird.
Introduction.
Nothing you bring up
weird.
Is
relevant.
How you been?
How you been?
Hey, Megan, how are you?
My Tennessean. Hey, my sweet, sweet Tennessean.
How are you?
You're just a weirdo.
You're beautiful.
My favorite Tennessean.
Of all the people in Tennessee, you're our favorite Tennessean.
Only you could say how you been, and the message is, what are you wearing? That's what comes across.
That wasn't all happening.
That's what the message is. That's the music under the lyrics.
Bean, you're concerned with the person who's actually saying it. We're saying that it's landing differently than you expect.
My sweet favorite Tennessean.
I feel good about it. Now that I've heard
it.
No, come on.
Let's hear it one more time.
That's not necessary.
I just want to make sure that we're clear.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is back, you guys. The first movie was a huge hit. By all accounts, the second one is bigger and even better. It is called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows. It is in theaters everywhere today. We are delighted to welcome back to the program our favorite Tennessean, Megan Fox. Hey, Megan.
Hi, how are you?
How you been?
She's already scared.
She's like, why did he call me his favorite Tennessean?
That's not a thing.
But isn't that a little bit of a compliment to the guest that you've done a little research
Nobody
and you know something about them?
Nobody talks that way.
Right?
Nobody says this is our favorite Tennessean. This is not said ever. Even if she's your favorite person from Tennessee, no one says it that way.
Right? That's not the intro. That's not the opening salvo.
I've been great. How have you been?
All right, now what's she doing there?
You have forced her hand. She's obligated now to.
She's mocking. She's mocking the fact that you're too familiar with her.
Right. Oh. And you called her a favorite Tennessean. Right. Already creeped her the F out.
She's mocking you, and she's doing the exact right thing.
Yes. Now she's my favorite Tennessean.
Right.
Because of that.
As well. We've got a brand new internet roundup coming up, you guys.
Yeah, we do, and we also are going to hook you up with, check this out, tickets for Weezer and Panic at the Disco at the Irvine Meadows Amphitheater on August 6th, and you'll be qualified for the grand prize of the Festival Flyaway 2016 destination number 3 to see them at Summer Sonic Festival in Tokyo. How about that? Trip to Japan, and you get to see all those great bands. So that's coming up 9 o'clock this morning here on K-Rock.
Why can't we say, why are all the words being taken from us at work? Why can't we say you guys? Why can't we say you girls? When did this become a thing?
Because it's not gender neutral, Kevin, because girls are not guys. And if you walk into a room and you say, hey, guys, it might be offensive to some women there who don't want to be referred to as men.
And
don't you get it?
Hey, girls, we're ladies.
That's right. Well,
come on. This is the dumbest.
This is the dumbest.
The Diversity Council Australia, which is a real organization, Kevin, no matter how much you want it to
be fake.
This
is 100% fake.
Has started a new campaign where they are trying to get people to be more aware of the potentially hurtful words that they say in the workplace. Here's a little bit of their video.
The research has told us for years how language cuts people out or cuts them down.
Come on, girls. Let's get cracking.
Girls.
And yet it still happens.
When I go to meetings, the men always try to talk over me. And it's really disappointing.
We don't talk over you.
No, you cut me off all the time, like the other day I was trying to get...
We don't cut you off. When do we cut you off?
See?
My mate's having an 80s theme party.
Oh, that's so gay. I mean, it's like lame and it's like stupid and it's dumb.
See?
Words. Making people feel good and bad since offices were invented.
Did this come from our company, Bean?
It's very similar to the videos that we have been forced to watch as well about language and the words. Words can hurt. You know that, Kevin.
Yeah.
So we thought we'd find out more about it. So we do have the chairman of the Diversity Council Australia, David Morrison. He joins us on the phone from Sydney, I believe, right now. Hey, Mr. Morrison, how are you, sir?
Good day, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Well, we appreciate you very much coming on the program. My friend Kevin here doesn't think what you're doing at the Diversity Council Australia is real.
Oh, it's absolutely real.
It sounds like it.
And it's important.
Okay. It sounds like it's a joke. I mean, it doesn't sound like anybody could really be upset about this.
It's not a joke to the people whose feelings get hurt because you're using different languages.
Okay, what about the one that's in the headline? Hey, guys, it's apparently not okay to say hey, guys anymore. What can you tell us about that, Mr. Morrison?
Well, with a lot of research we've done, it shows that these little pieces of gender-based language, even though they seem small, can affect people's morale over the course of time. Mm-hmm. And so if you keep saying hey, guys, to a group that includes women, they take that over time as an increasingly disrespectful tone.
How do you
know that? It really affects morale at work.
How do you know that?
Because we've talked to women who said, I don't like being referred to as a guy.
Huh. And in other words, it hasn't gotten to the point where it's just part of the language and what hey guys means is hey people.
Well, people use it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And they think it's not hurting people's feelings, but in fact it is. And it has a detrimental effect that builds up over time.
Okay. And what kind of response is your campaign meeting there in Australia?
Well, I like to think it's making a difference. Mm-hmm. And we've been
sure you do.
We've been using it, and people have been changing the language, and people seem happy in the workplace.
Okay, so if we walk into a room that has both men and women, what do we say?
Hello, everyone. Hello, everybody.
Okay.
Hello, people. There's lots of gender-neutral language that you can use.
Nobody says hello, people.
Hello, humans.
Well, we could. Yeah, humans works.
Okay.
Why don't we say that? Why don't we all become one people instead of being broken down by gender, by race, or by sexual orientation?
Okay. I mean, look, I think your heart's in the right place. I just don't know how big an issue this really is, this hey guys thing.
It is a big issue because it's these little things that add up, like I said, over time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's lots of things you shouldn't be saying because we're in a diverse workplace.
Okay, like what?
We have homosexuals, we have heterosexuals, we have men, we have women. You've got to be careful how you use your language.
Okay.
All right.
For example, you know, you don't want to call something gay if you think it's something negative, a negative term, because being gay isn't a negative.
Yeah, we've actually changed that on this show.
There you go.
We have actually.
Good.
Right. Okay.
Other thing you shouldn't say to gays, you shouldn't say, hey, you old didgeridoo gobblers, how are you? That's not that we're trying to get out of the workplace.
Right. Okay. Nobody, I hope, would say that.
Who would say that?
People do every day in the workplace.
Okay.
A lot of times people go in the workplace just doing this.
Is that what?
Making a gesture with their mouth.
No one's ever done that.
Like flailing a didgeridoo.
No.
Do that. If you go to the office,
don't say
to a bunch of women, hey, you sloppy whore bags, how you doing today?
But zero people would say that.
People are always doing
no,
that.
They're
in the
not.
No one is calling all the women in their office sloppy whore bags.
Don't say to women when you walk in after the weekend, hey, did anyone go walk about in your bush? Don't do that. Don't say that. Hey, you got any dingoes in there? Don't say that.
Okay.
I'm going to try hard to not say that.
If you're walking into a room full of men, don't say, hey, you wombat rapers.
What?
Oh, come on.
You're always saying that.
No one is ever saying that.
Don't refer to a man as Sphincter McCarbuncle.
Okay. Mr. Morrison, you're just
don't
making stuff up.
Refer to a woman as a lady with a hoo-ha the size of the Sydney Opera House. Don't say, hello. I can hear an echo.
Yeah, I think it's unlikely anyone's going to be saying that to anyone.
Don't say, hey, you bunch of baby koala wangs. If you see a bunch of fellas, don't say that.
Okay. All right. That'll be easy to not say anymore.
We see a woman at the office. Don't say, hello, Miss Ass as big as a coral reef and just as deadly.
Have you ever heard that one said? Has anyone ever said that one in your presence? David?
Just once.
Just one time. Okay.
Be sure to keep listening to K-Rock every hour, including this one, for your chance to win tickets to see Coldplay at the Rose Bowl. They're coming in August. As you know, you qualify to also see the band at a private performance at a beach house in Cape Cod. Allie McKay is offering to go with you as a chaperone.
Don't let that sway you.
But you should still try to win.
Unless it helps.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So, Kevin?
Yeah.
Chip?
Yep.
Allie?
Yes.
All of you went to see Ghostbusters over the weekend.
Yes.
Yes, we did.
And all of you walked out with the same thought, which is another dumb guy named Kevin in the
Why
movie.
Why does the dumb character always have to have the name Kevin?
It tends to happen.
I mean, The Office for all those years.
I thought you were just being sensitive to it. No. No. It's always Kevin.
It's always named. He's always named Kevin. And Kevin in this particular case was Chris Hemsworth. And he was really...
He was not bright.
He was supposed to answer the phone for the Ghostbusters. And he picked up the phone. He said hello. And then he just hung back up. And they said, oh, did he hang up? And Chris, as Kevin, says, no, I just wasn't interested in the conversation.
It's very Kevin.
He doesn't understand that he's supposed to take calls and take down information.
Sure.
That dumb.
Sure.
Now, his name was Kevin.
In your defense, the Kevins aren't always dumb because there was that Tilda Swinton movie a couple of years ago, We Need to Talk About Kevin, where her son named Kevin was a serial killer. So at least sometimes
there's range.
They mix it up a little bit.
They mix it up from dumb to killer.
All right. So we always talk about this. Years and years have gone by. We have noticed that this is the trend. And then there's also something called a Kevin moment that has become a thing in this country. And that is where you...
Has it become a thing in this country?
Yes. It's sweeping the nation.
Okay. Melania Trump stole that part of the speech last night where she brought up the Kevin moment, but she did talk about it. It's shorthand for... I can't believe what a boneheaded thing I just did. As an example, Kevin, the time that you drove to the Forum to see the Lakers play and were sitting in the parking lot, an empty parking lot, when you realized it was an away game.
Okay, yeah.
That is a textbook definition of a Kevin moment.
That was last second decided to go, picked up a friend, and it was Friday night traffic.
Oh, no.
Fought all the way to get down there. And then saw the empty parking lot, looked on my phone, was like, oh, it's an away game. All right.
Oh, Kevin.
Yeah, that happens.
So that is a perfect example of what we are looking for. We are looking for your Kevin moment.
Here's the thing now. It's become, it's a Kevin moment, which means you're not responsible for you being dumb.
Correct. That's right. Yes. So you did something that was so boneheaded that you hit yourself in the forehead with your palm and you went, oh, that was such a Kevin moment. That's the topic on the table this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067. I believe we had a call on the Afro line this week.
We did. This is in response to Stupid Allie, who started all this.
I tweeted about a week ago. I set my alarm super early. I was going to wake up. I was going to buy Stone Roses tickets, book a flight to New York. They were playing at Madison Square Garden. I was almost done purchasing the ticket, and I thought, let me just make sure it's that exact date.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was June 30th.
What day was this date?
July 14th or so. So I was off. I thought the show was at the end of July.
I
tweeted, Monday, not off to a good start. Dumb move. And Brad Williams tweeted, you pulled a Kevin. And I said, no, pulling a Kevin would be going to Madison Square Garden.
How dare you?
And then Brad decided, well, why don't you guys do a segment on it?
Yeah, and he called and left this message of his Kevin moment.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, this is Brad Williams. So we've all had a Kevin moment. One time I booked 3 different tickets on the same flight to Dallas. That's right. I booked myself going to Dallas. A couple weeks later, I thought, ooh, I should really book that ticket to Dallas. I booked that ticket again. Then a couple weeks later, I thought, oh, man, that Dallas trip is coming up. I should book that ticket again. I booked 3 tickets just for me on the same flight to Dallas. When I checked in, the employee at the gate looked at me like I was insane. So that's my Kevin moment. What's your Kevin moment, everyone? Let the dumb commence.
I don't know that the tagline is let the dumb commence.
I don't hate it.
That is a classic Kevin moment story, though.
Yeah.
That Brad had, right?
Yeah. It's great.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. If they put Ramon on hold, he'd be a good one to get started with. He's on line one, and he joins us from Riverside on the Kevin Beach on K-Rock.
Hey, Ramon.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thanks.
All right. My Kevin moment was went out to get some lunch on a Sunday. Went to a restaurant I've never been to before called Chick-fil-A.
Oh, Chick-fil-A, sure.
Yeah. Well, 15 minutes later in the drive-thru, some guy walks by and says, hey, they're closed on Sundays. And, I just got out of there.
So you sat in the driveway for 15 minutes.
Yeah, I was asking. I kept asking, like, hello.
Oh, into the speaker? Oh,
remote. Anyone? Did you get mad and start yelling at them?
No, I mean,
I was patient.
I was just busy. I didn't really notice anybody inside, but I thought they were just really busy. I was trying to be patient.
All right.
How sweet of him.
That's awesome.
He was
That's...
trying to be patient. Hello. Excuse me.
Yeah, you know, I don't
want to bug anybody, but I've been sitting here for a while.
Hey, no rush, but would you get a chance? You can come out and give me some food. All right, Ramon, great call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's go to East LA Line 2. This is going to be Peter. He's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Peter.
Hey, so I got home. I'm really tired from work, and I was like, oh, I can't wait to get out of these clothes from work. I'm so tired. And I just, like, got undressed in my driveway, like,
what?
Outside. Like, outside in my driveway.
Did you not realize you were doing that?
Yeah, I didn't realize, like, I wasn't in my bedroom, like, yet. So I just started getting
undressed. Oh, Peter.
That's a level of tired you don't want to be. Yeah.
And then somebody, I wasn't even that tired. I was just like, I can't wait to get out of these work clothes. I'm so done with being in, like, a work shirt. And I just started getting undressed in my driveway. And then somebody passed by and looked at me weird. And then I realized what I was doing.
Look, I bet anything, our Kevin has done that a million times. He ended up naked in his driveway for whatever reason.
I was actually
reason.
Listening to you guys on the podcast. So
that's
guys,
funny.
Like, influence.
Thank you, Peter. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Kevin, how
We're
about the time,
fun, aren't we?
We sure are. How about the time we had the singles party at the Roxy?
Yeah.
How about that?
Mm-hmm. So I go to the whiskey, and I'm there a little late, but I'm annoyed because nobody else is there yet. How dare you people not be there on time? I don't know, maybe 5 full minutes?
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized, oh, this is the whiskey. That's the,
right.
the
Wrong
Roxy.
Venue.
Wrong
yeah.
venue. But you remember right. the time that I went downstairs during the show?
Mm-hmm.
To get something out of my car and just went on autopilot, got in my car, backed up, started driving home.
And went home.
It was 7:30 in the morning. I didn't go home, but I was sitting at a stoplight about a mile away from work. And I went, what the? We're still on the air. I had to turn around and go back and park. And get... That happened. Yeah, that happened.
Yep. All right. Your Kevin moment. We're taking your calls right now at 1-800-520-106. I feel like there's a TV show in your Kevin
I
moment. Don't
feel
you?
Like that would be a good one. No.
Talk to you next on K-Rock. Something about people named Kevin. That's what we are discovering, not only in the movies or in real life or people who just have Kevin moments. Here's Kevin Bacon on a talk show recently talking about what it's like being named Kevin. I think you'll appreciate this.
I don't like the name Kevin.
You don't like it? Kevin, to me, it's just never sounded right. Like, it's like, and they've done studies that teachers are predisposed to not like Kevins.
Really?
What? Yeah, because, no, it's true, because they tend to be troublemakers.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
in certain cultures, I think it's someplace in the UK, to call somebody a Kevin is an insult. You know, he's a Kevin. You know, it's
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
And if you look at movies, a lot of times, they'll take the a-hole and they'll name him Kevin. It's just, yeah. No.
That's true. actually true. So we're taking your Kevin moment story like Brian, who writes in, once I was listening to the Kevin and Bean podcast in my car and I tried calling in to win tickets. That was my Kevin moment. That's exactly what we're talking about. Where do you want to start? How about Sandy, line 5, Los Angeles, up first?
All right. Sandy, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. Pretty right. good. Just still laughing over our Kevin moment.
Yeah, all right.
My husband and I, we were in Italy. We'd taken a month trip. We were driving. He bought a European GPS. So we were ready. We had hotels. We were driving. We knew what we were doing. Okay, we're going from Torino to Venice, and we got to this place where all there were parking structures, and we circled it for an hour. Now, we're both educated people. We'd already been on our honeymoon. This is our 10-year anniversary gift.
Why did you circle it for an hour?
Because we had forgotten it was a damn island. It was 12.
So you were supposed to take a boat to get off the island, but you didn't know that. You were looking for a road.
Right. So we kept there were like 6 parking structures. You park, take the ferry.
Gotcha.
Wow. We get surgery. And we're, you know, we've both got degrees and we're talking to each other and we're like, what is going on? And then all of a sudden he looked at me and goes, it's an island. And I went,
Oh, my God.
We're the dumbest people ever.
It's a Kevin moment is what it is. All right. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that, Sandy. 1-800-520-1067. Let's try, how about Eddie in Riverside? He's on line 4.
All right. Line 4. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, we're all having a great time with Kevin moments.
All right, so here's my Kevin moment. After a long night of drinking with me and my buddies in Newport Beach, we got some La Ventina's pizza, and we started to trek back to the house about 3 miles. And after about 2.5 miles, I tripped over a bush, and I dropped the pizza box, and it was empty. And I thought the pizza had flew out, but we had already ate it, and we didn't realize it, but we carried an empty box about 3 miles.
Eddie.
Yeah, it's terrible.
All right. Alcohol was involved, clearly. Thank you for the call.
Let's try Lomita, line 2. This is going to be Jennifer, her Kevin moment. See, even the ladies can have Kevin moments.
Yeah, great. Hey, Jennifer.
It's so cool that you think I'm a lady. Thank you.
What's your story, Jennifer?
What had happened was I was in the ladies' room at work, and when I came out of the ladies' room, it's like my brain transported me to my home ladies' room. Because when I came out, I hadn't unzipped my fly yet. I forgot that I was in a work bathroom that had 4 stalls. And one of my coworkers was like, what? The what? Like, just looked at me like, you're an animal.
So she's just walking around at work with her pants down, like,
right,
like Kevin
you do,
does.
Like
Same
you do
thing.
Sometimes. That's
right,
not
Jennifer,
so bad.
Thank you for the call. Hector writes in, one time I came home from high school and I took a nap. Well, I woke up at 8 o'clock and I freaked out because I knew I was supposed to be at school at 7:30. So I got up, took a shower, changed, went in the living room, yelling at my mom that I was late for school. I saw the confused look on her face and then it dawned on me that it was 8 p.m., not 8 a.m. the following day.
Yeah.
So he had just taken a nap. I think a lot of people have
I've probably done the Saturday thing. Where you get up and you realize you're late for work. I've probably done that 15 times.
Right? Yeah.
All right. Couple more real fast. Let's try Amanda Long Beach. Line 6, please.
All right, Amanda. Hi.
Hi, guys.
What's your Kevin moment?
My friend posted in the morning on Facebook that there are 85-cent short stacks at a local restaurant. And I'm like, oh, that's what we're having good for dinner. I shared it with my husband. I tagged him. Like, yeah, this is what's for dinner. You're on your own. I take my toddler, we go, we ask for the special, and she's like, oh, confused. I show her the post, and she's like, oh, that's for IHOP. You're at Denny's.
Oh.
And it was 58 cents, too, by the way, not 85 cents. Even worse.
Bean.
Wait, do you know that
why
for real, Bean?
That? Yeah, because it was IHOP's 58th anniversary. That's why they were offering this special. Don't come at me with pancake details.
We're going to need another call-in topic of Bean moments. We got to talk to Joy in Studio City.
All right, one more.
That seems like this is
Good
not
morning.
Ideal. Hi, Joy.
Good morning.
You did what?
I walked into a wrong funeral.
How long were you there before you realized this is not my loved one?
Probably 20 minutes.
What?
Oh, my gosh.
Wait,
yeah,
what?
How
were you there for 20 minutes?
Well, because, you know, I mean, it's a Filipino funeral, and we walked into another Filipino funeral.
Okay.
So, you know, this is the right funeral. We're talking to people, two of us, and we even started crying already.
Oh, no.
Look, and, Filipino know, lives matter. You're allowed to cry.
Great this guy was.
I would like to. Did you speak? Did you get up and speak?
No. But what happened was we said, okay, well, we're going to go pay our respects. So we made our way to the coffin, and it was the wrong dude.
Oh,
and
my
we
gosh.
Oh, it was like an open casket?
Laughing.
Oh, yes. How terrible to start laughing at that moment, too.
We started laughing. And the widower, whatever she was, she looked at us like, angry, like, why are you laughing? And I'm so sorry. And then so we just walked out.
I'd like to suggest maybe it's no longer a Kevin moment, but a Joy moment.
That's a good point.
Yes,
how about
is.
That? Thank you for calling.
I just decided I'm going to vote so many times on Tuesday. You can't get your head around how many times I'm going to vote.
I don't think you can do that.
It's going to be amazing.
Sure
I might personally pick the president on Tuesday. I'm going to vote so many times.
I feel like that's going to happen.
Well, we'll find out. Okay. 8 o'clock this morning, we do have a representative on from L.A. County Voting who will tell us how we can rig the polls. I think that's why he's coming in, is to tell us how we can.
I think he's going to explain that it's not really possible.
Really? All right.
I think,
we'll agree to disagree.
All right.
Speaking of the news, I thought this was interesting. For as much progress as some progressives say the Pope has made with his relaxed standards about things that have been kind of canon in the Catholic Church for so many years, you know, his being open to homosexuals, for instance, being Catholic, that sort of thing. A lot of people thought, well, the Pope is really he's really moving into the future here. A little bit too fast for some people. Well, he did something this past week that was a surprise to a lot of people, where he came out and he said that a woman will never be a priest. St. John Paul II had the last clear word on this, and it stands, he said. Forever and ever. Never, never. Women will never be priests. And a lot of people have said, hey, unfair, dude. Right? Let women be priests if they want to be priests.
But he's even ruling out considering it.
Yes. Yes. He's saying it's not going to be the case. And I'm so surprised, because he seems like a guy who's into equality. I'm so surprised why he says they will be banned from the priesthood forever. So we asked Dave if he could dial up the hotline to the Vatican. And I believe we do have our good friend Pope Francis. It's been a while since we've had the Pontiff on, but I believe he joins us from Vatican City right now. Hello, Your Holiness. How are you, sir?
Good morning, my children. How are you?
Well, it's great. I feel like we haven't talked to you in a long time. How you been?
It has been a while. It is great to be talking to you again. And I'm perfect, pretty much.
Well, you are awfully popey.
I am infallible. So that's, right? I got that going for me.
So you didn't spend a lot of time explaining how you arrived at your decision, but why did you say that women cannot be priests?
Come on.
Right? What do you mean, come on?
Women priests, come on.
Yes, that's, why not?
Come on, who's with me?
Well, I think we're trying to understand why. I mean, women can love the Lord and can be good Catholics and can comfort others and do all the things that priests do.
Great, let them do it. But they won't ever be priests. Come on, let's face it.
But but we're asking why.
Well, first of all, you don't want to have to worry about putting the toilet seat down in the Vatican, okay?
I'm sorry.
For centuries and centuries, we were able to leave the seat up and nobody complained.
I'm sorry, that's first of all?
That's the first one.
Okay.
It's like, you think I want to hear, oh, I fell in, you left the seat up, you're in so much trouble, Pope. I don't want to have to deal with that.
So a lady could come to you and say, make me a priest, and I promise to always put the seat down, and you'd be okay with that.
I'm confused. I got to put the seat down, or she's going to put the seat down?
Wait. What is she
promising again?
She'll put the seat down.
She'll put the seat down.
So it's not on you.
Will. That's how she goes to go to the bathroom.
Right. So what I'm saying is, so I feel like we're going into the weeds here. You can do whatever you want with the seat, Pope, and then she'll always put the seat down and not complain if you leave it up.
Oh, she'll take care of the seat herself, you're
That's
saying.
What I'm saying. She'll be in charge of the seat. Would that be okay? Could she then be a priest?
Good luck with that, right? Like, that's going to last 2 weeks, and then next thing you know, it's like, you're such a problem. Listen, let me tell you something, okay?
Yes, okay, yes.
First of all, nobody respects women more than I do, okay?
Really?
Nobody. Man.
Right.
And here's the thing. Sometimes, if there's a woman around in the church, I have to take a tic-tac, because I am just attracted to the beauty of their soul. Right away, I can't help myself. Sometimes I need the tic-tac, because I will go up and I will just start taking their confession right away. I don't even ask. I just start taking their confession. It's unbelievable.
Okay. You're walking a very dangerous line here, Your Holiness.
I will grab them by the soul. I'll grab them by the soul, and they let me do it, because I'm the Pope, and I can get away with it. I can do anything. It's amazing.
You are the Pope, yeah.
But I love women.
Right.
And
but never priests, ever, ever.
Never, never priests. Because, really, there's no hot chicks want to be a priest, first of all, okay?
You're not going to get the... Well, I don't think anyone said anything about hot.
You're not the top drawer, okay?
But that's not the high... That shouldn't be the hiring standard, is how attractive they are. It should be their... willingness to commit to the Catholic Church.
Right. Wink, wink. I hear you. Absolutely. I'm with you. Okay.
Man, Omar's got a lot of rules.
Being right all the time is very hard.
What's happening?
Very hard, guys.
All right, listen. It's Kevin Beecher, World Famous K-Rock. Thanks so much for tuning in. Tonight there is a special on television that, Omar, I don't know if you're going to love this or not, because I know you have a lot of very specific rules about how people are allowed to decorate their homes for holidays.
Yep.
But tonight is the return of the Great Christmas Light Fight.
I love the light fight.
Me too.
I love the light fight.
So
it is
good.
So awesome.
Really?
I aspire to be these people.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
what,
they're
awesome.
Awesome.
These are the houses where the people have 6 million Christmas lights on their house. Okay?
So the best.
And you can see them from space. Now, mm-hmm. Here's my question for you.
Have you been gathering lights?
You know,
I mean,
so,
are you
going to
at some point just bust them all out?
I hope so. Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, when I had my kids, before I had my kids, I was like, I put a little here thing, but now, like, they're so excited about it.
Right.
I keep adding to my collection.
Yeah.
You know, so in another 5 years.
You're
going to
be so annoying
to
your neighbors.
I'm
going to
burn this mother down. Yeah.
That's,
totally.
That's my question. Is there a point at which the Christmas decorations go from being, oh, it's so nice that family's in the holiday spirit and they make the neighborhood so pretty, too, that's a problem. I can't sleep because it's so bright, or they've got music playing because it's so loud, or now it's getting to the point where it's attracting traffic because
no.
people want to come by and see the lights. Isn't there a point at which you become a problem for your neighbors if you overdo the decorations?
Nope, absolutely not.
Really?
Because you do it from like 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. and they're off. You don't keep them running all night long. And come on, a-hole, you don't have Christmas spirit?
Right.
Get off my lawn. Bah humbug on you.
Wow. All right, so what are some of the rules you have for other people's Christmas decorations? Because, Omar, you're so into your own decorations that do you give a lot of side eye to your neighbors if they're not doing it the way you think they should?
Well, you know, I was disappointed in my neighbor this year because usually they do a pretty good job. They put, like, reindeer out there.
Are those the meth dealers?
No.
Oh,
no,
okay.
No.
The
meth dealers don't even try. I hate them.
Which is a shame because they could get so much done if they just started
up
right.
That is true. They have this column in front of their house, and all they did is wrap some Christmas lights around the column. That was it. And they call it done. I thought that was weak. Yeah,
weak.
For sure. But the weakest of all, and this is a huge pet peeve, and I'm seeing it more and more, and it's throughout my neighborhood this year, is the lazy laser lights. So it's this little laser that you plop out facing your home,
right.
And it shoots out little red and green laser lights.
Okay.
Yeah,
onto your house.
Lights
yeah.
onto the house.
And it kind of moves a little
you?
Bit because they call it that. That's it. That's done.
Oh, that's all they do.
That's all they do. They don't
see.
It's not an addition to their other decorations. If it was, I would have no problem with it. But this is
so it's lazy.
It's lazy. It's way lazy.
Huh.
That's not decorating your house for Christmas. That's not the Christmas spirit. Get out of here.
But does it look good?
Go to Mexico.
Does it look good, though?
No, it's terrible. It doesn't look good. You can't even, like, you're. It's like
what
a weird
not from
thing.
Mexico? Do they still have to go to Mexico?
Yes.
Wow. What if they moved here from Connecticut? Do they still have to go to Mexico?
Go to Mexico.
But wait, I don't understand. If it looks good and it's holiday
it doesn't
and it's
look
festive.
Good.
Oh, it doesn't.
It doesn't look good. It takes a little bit, like, oh, that's what they're doing.
Oh, so
you know what I mean? It's not like, oh, that's decorations. It takes a little time to figure out that's what
your
they're doing.
Your complaint is not that you don't. Is not that you hate that. It's that they don't just add that on to everything else. They just do that
alone. They just
alone.
Do that. Yeah, that's unacceptable to me.
Unacceptable.
Is the problem that you don't think it's worth it unless you put a certain number of hours into your decorations? Like if it's too easy,
if
you don't give them the credit? Like do you have a problem with the pre-decorated and pre-lit Christmas trees, for instance? Are those people weak sauce because their trees are already ready to go the minute they take them out of the box?
No, because you have the lights, but you have to add ornaments and, you know, tweak it out and make it your own.
Okay.
So that's fine. You know, that's all
Omar
good.
Will allow it.
Thank you. But, yeah, to me, it's lazy and it doesn't look good. Like, if it looked great, like, oh, they have these little projectors now.
Right.
That they project, like, this entire Christmas scene on. If you have, like, a light-colored garage.
Right.
It looks awesome. So that's kind of cool. But also, just don't do that.
Still lazy.
Still lazy, but just don't do that.
Add that.
Right,
okay.
Exactly. That's
wow, you got
thing.
A lot of rules.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah, for sure.
Wow.
Well, maybe Omar can help us with some callers at 1-800-520-1067. If they've got some complaints, what are we looking for? Complaints about
decorations in the neighborhood that drive you crazy, like Omar's, where he just can't stand it when they only use the laser.
Yeah.
So 1-800-520-1067 is the number. It's Kevin and Bean's Christmas Court. Next.
All right. It's supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year, but apparently some people's Christmas decorations are cheesing off other people, like Omar, who has a lot of rules and restrictions about what's allowed and what's not allowed. What's this feature going to be called here, Kevin?
It's Kevin and Bean's Christmas Court.
Christmas Court?
Kevin and Bean will listen to your case and rule. Are those decorations allowed? Or should that person be sent to jail?
I don't think we're sending people to jail.
The litigants are now entering the courtroom for Kevin and Bean's Christmas Court. Will the decorations be allowed? Or will you be sentenced to death?
Death.
Death.
I like
death.
Wow.
All right, where are we starting? Could we start with line 8, please, bailiff? Will you bring line 8 in front of the judge?
Kara is now entering the courtroom. She's from Laguna Niguel. This is the case of the gassy Saint Nick.
Kara, good morning. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. What's the problem in front of the court here today? By the way, gassy Saint Nick.
If it's the gassy Saint Nick, I think thumbs up.
Thumbs up, right?
Wow, I really wish I could take credit for the gassy Saint Nick, but unfortunately, I did not come up.
All right,
with
what
that
is it? Explain it to us.
The gassy Saint Nick is the inflatable Santa.
Oh, sure.
That people have in front of their houses or various other decorations, like inflatable snowmen. Mm-hmm. It drives me insane.
So you hate all inflatables. So what's your problem with them? Why don't you like them?
I'm with Omar. I just think it's really lazy. Like, hang up some Christmas lights.
Okay.
Like, if they had that and some Christmas lights, I wouldn't hate it so much. But if it's just the Santa, it's super lazy.
Oh, it's just one Santa. That's it. That's the entire decoration. It's not like a group of inflatables.
Yeah. Okay. Or sometimes it's a group of inflatables, which I really just think is a waste of money.
Really? Inflatables are awesome.
Really?
Oh,
really?
Wow. He's turning on Kara.
I would not have predicted this.
Inflatables are awesome. I love it.
Okay.
Yeah. It's time for a ruling from Kevin and Bean's Christmas Court.
I guess inflatables are awesome.
It sounds like it.
Wow. Sorry, Kara. You
rest
were denied.
Rest in peace, Kara.
Thank you for calling. Let's go to, how about line 7, bailiff? Let's see what Julie's got going on.
Now entering the courtroom, Julie from Orange, California. She's got the problem. It's a case of the obnoxious neighbor.
Ooh. Julie.
Hi, Julie.
What's going on with your neighbor?
Well, each year we battle it out over who's going to put up more lights. So this year he started a little early.
Oh,
I'm looking at it right now.
Son of a bitch.
He has no theme. It's Star Wars. It's Charlie Brown. It's the flying reindeer. And then over on the left, he's got the manger.
The mix match.
And so, you know, it's so obnoxious that I'm thinking, and you tell me if this is okay, I have these 8-foot mirrors that I'm thinking of putting in my yard just so when you drive by, it reflects and bounces off my mirrors to see what he's got. And I just wanted to see if that was okay with Omar.
Mm. I'm not even sure I understand that.
You're going
to steal your neighbor's decorations by putting mirrors up in your yard.
Yeah.
It's time for Kevin and Bean to rule in Kevin and Bean's Christmas Court.
Kevin and Bean don't even understand the case.
I think it's so crazy, I like it.
We're down with Julie.
I'm not lazy. I have 15 different...
All right, take it easy. We ruled in your favor, for God's sakes.
Good boy.
Move along. All right.
Case dismissed.
Bailiff, can we go to line 6, please? I think we've got a problem on the line.
Now entering the courtroom, Josh from Woodland Hills. Icicle, you-sickle, we all scream for icicle.
Oh. Hey, Josh, Judge Omar is in session. What's the problem in front of him, please?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We are good.
Thanks.
I feel like you're kind of taking this conversation backwards with that, though.
How are you, Josh?
I'm sorry. No, my neighbor lives on a corner that we have to go from 45 to 25.
Right.
And he has these icicle-like decorations that kind of do this Matrix rain thing.
Right.
Oh. And it's it's a very big house, and it's very distracting because I'm a big fan of The Matrix. So every time I've taken that turn so far, I've darn near hit the fire hydrant.
Sorry, wait. Hold, please. Hold on, Josh.
No!
It's the case of, hey, look over there, something shiny.
That's exactly it! Josh can't help himself!
Because he likes The Matrix!
It's the case of, oh, squirrel!
I love Josh!
What is going on? Josh denied, sir. I mean, that's really only a problem for you.
Yeah, it's on you, Josh.
Denied.
Kevin and Bean have ruled in Kevin and Bean's Christmas Court. Our next case is now entering the courtroom.
I think our next case is going to be Carla, if you don't mind, on line 4, please. Felix.
Carla from La Puente is now entering the courtroom. Her neighbor has a case of year-round Christmas.
No, no.
Big no-no.
It's on. Right. Carla, what's happening?
Hi, good morning. So, I'm not complaining about the decorations. It's really, really pretty. But they moved in about 4 years ago, and they have not removed them.
Ooh! So year-round, 4 years of those decorations in their yard.
Now, yes.
Do they turn them on in the
you know, February, March, April time?
No, no, it's just December. And
shut up, Bela.
It's
February time?
Everything. Oh, and some of the
what about the March
still
time?
Have some oil on it.
I feel like that would be annoying.
Oh, well,
Omar, what's your ruling on that?
Yeah.
That's
come,
annoying.
Come February, you got to take him down.
Right. Okay.
Kevin and B's Christmas card will now make its ruling.
How did this work again? You got to take him down.
You say that, Omar, but what's the caller supposed to do? You can't go. Can she go over to somebody else's house and ask them to take them down? Or no?
You put on the ski mask and you take them down yourself. Come on, what's wrong with you, Bean?
Come on, Bean, get it together.
Kevin and Bean, Christmas vigilante.
All right, Carla, looks like it's on you. Thank you, Judge. Thank you, Bailiff.
This has been Kevin and Bean's Christmas Court.
Tuesday morning on the world-famous K-Rock, it's 106.7 KROQ. What? What's going on? What's
nothing.
Everybody?
I'm just going to take Allie out today. It's going down.
No one would blame you, Ralph.
Let me throw some bows.
Wow.
Bows to doom.
How about a little feature we like to call Bean Makes Us Guess?
All right.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh. Penis slapped.
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bean Makes Us Guess.
Yes. Again, I don't think I'm a dick. And
yep.
I don't think I'm dumb.
I know you don't think any of those things.
I'm just reading a list,
you
though,
think Bob Costas is a good guy.
Beer Mug is filling in for the Monkees since Kevin is on vacation this week. And here's the category. I think you guys are going to love this one. All right. I wouldn't be surprised if you got all 10 of them.
Woo!
This is such a great category.
Yeah.
Today we are looking for, on B-Mix's Guest, the best movie villains of all time.
Oh.
The greatest, most vile movie characters we love to hate, ranked by the wisdom of the crowd, according to Ranker.com. The best movie bad guys of all time. Mugs. It's movies, okay? I just want to make sure you understand.
Movies, got it. Fonzie!
Because I heard Mugs play before. With Kevin out, Ralph, we're going to give you the ceremonial first guess here today to get us started. We're looking for the top 10, of course.
Top 10, of course. All right. I say this not only because I think it's on the list, mm-hmm. but in order to burn Allie.
I hate
yes.
you.
I would like to say Darth Vader.
Well, sure, yeah.
Take Darth that away
Vader.
From her.
Is the only surprise to me is that Darth Vader is not number one. He comes in at number two.
Mm.
Darth Vader is the number two movie villain of all time on the list. You are on the board. Beer Mug, you're up next.
I'm going to go with Jack Nicholson from The Shining.
Number four.
Oh,
how about that?
Yeah!
Yes.
How is that a villain?
It's just the first thing that popped in my head. He was just so sadistic in that when he goes nuts.
The character's name is Jack Torrance from The Shining is number four. Beer Mug with an early point. Usually he doesn't make the board at all, so I'm very impressed by
it. I was excited when he started naming actors. I thought that we're in good shape. Let me see. Fred Astaire?
All right. 1-1 to you, Allie McKay.
Voldemort.
Number six. Well done. Look at this. We've got 2, 4, and 6 already in the
first
round.
You're not even supposed to say his name, by the way. So,
yeah.
Nice work.
He who shall not be named. Right, exactly. Number six from the Harry Potter films, of course. All right. Ralph, back to you.
Let's go for a classic. And I think it's not on the list, and I'm walking out the door. How about that in protest? The Wicked Witch of the West from Wizard of Oz.
Let me scroll down into the 30s and
40s. Come on.
You know what? It's number 26 on the list.
Wow. It's a legendary movie villain.
Well, there may be younger people than Wizard of Oz fans on Ranker.
Everybody's seen Wizard of Oz.
I'm sorry, number 26, not in the top 10. But you know what? I wouldn't be mad if it were because she's obviously an all-time classic villain. Mugs, it's you.
One of the creepiest horror characters of all time. Freddy Krueger.
Freddy Krueger is number five, Beer Mug. Look at you.
Wow.
On a roll.
Mugs is undefeated.
Hands down.
Okay. Jesus. If we're going that genre.
Yeah, I didn't know that was an option.
Right? Okay. I didn't either, so I'm changing it up.
Game on.
I'm going to go Jason.
Let me see if
Jason come on.
Is on the
He's
list.
So much worse than
Jason
Freddy Krueger.
Jason is number 23.
No way.
There when you're not dreaming. You don't have to
good
be a good fucking Jason.
Get you during the day.
Right?
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Jason for the Friday the 13th movies is number 23 on the list. I'm sorry, not in the top 10.
That's dumb.
Ralph, back to you.
Movie villains. How about Hannibal Lecter?
How about number three, ladies and gentlemen?
Nice.
So now we have we've nailed 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Well done, you guys. Muggs, your turn.
I just got to mix it up a little bit, and this is from one of my favorite trilogies.
We don't need a monologue every time you give an answer, okay?
But I'm going to go Biff, Mother Effin' Tannen from Back to the Future.
He is pretty awful.
I am sorry I don't see him anywhere here, but that was a good guess.
He really thinks he's doing like a nightclub act.
Right?
He's like, and now one of my favorites from a while ago, I'd like to entertain you all with this guest during a game. Something I like to call Biff Tannen.
Biff comes in at number 72, Beer Mug.
Okay.
So he is on the list.
That's
but number
the worst answer so far.
72, yeah.
I'm going to give you guys a chance here.
Thanks.
All right, let's Tally's turn, and then we'll go around one more time.
Ralph's going to kill me that I even think this person's a villain, but I think he could be-ish.
Oh, wow.
The Riddler?
The Riddler?
Jim Carrey's the Riddler?
No, I meant more Frank Jack as the Riddler.
I mean, he is a bad guy.
Right, he's bad.
But I
and
don't...
He can't wear lipstick. He just messes up his lipstick, and that's bad.
I am sorry. No, I do not see him on
the top 20?
I'm pretty sure you're thinking about the Joker.
I'm just
a stab in the dark here, but I'm thinking you probably mean the Joker.
Oh, the Riddler's the guy in the suit and he walks home.
The guy with all the question marks.
The guy in the suit who walks. Yep, that's him.
All right, last round.
The Joker on the list.
You've already guessed. But best movie villains of all time. It is to Ralph Garman. What say you?
Wow. How about the Alien from the movie Aliens, the mama
the
alien.
Alien is what you are saying. Yeah. No, I'm so. Oh, yes, number 20. Number 20 is the alien. All right, Beer Mug, your final guess.
All right, here we go.
Oh, is anyone keeping score?
Yes.
Yeah. Ralph and Mugs are tied up.
Yes. All right. Oh, man. Let's see. I'm going to go with.
You know, when I think about aliens, it brings me back to growing up with my dad listening to jazz.
I'm going to go with the
devil. Just answer!
I'm trying. The devil from The Exorcist.
The devil.
you mean Satan?
I don't think Satan made the list.
He was scary. He was bad.
Yeah.
Remember that movie with the Riddler and Satan when they were together?
I meant
wreaking
the Joker,
havoc.
You guys.
All right. Alan McKay, the final guest, and then we got to put this nonsense to bed.
Mike Myers.
From the Love Guru?
Yes.
Number 19 on the list. All right, so you guys had some really good guesses because a lot of them that were on the list just didn't make the top 10. By the way, some of the other ones that didn't make the top 10 include Bane, who I thought I'm surprised somebody didn't say.
Yes.
Pennywise is on the list. Gollum is on the list. Patrick Bateman from American Psycho. But here's the ones that round out the top 10 that we didn't have. Number 10, Emperor Palpatine.
Whatever.
Number 9 on the list of the best movie villains of all time, Agent Smith from The Matrix.
Nah, boo.
I didn't create the list, of course. It's just a reflection.
Still get our scorn.
Yeah.
Number 8, The Terminator.
Really?
I was going to guess that.
No, you weren't.
You weren't. Shut
Number
up.
7, Let's Magneto see. From the X-Men universe.
Yeah. I don't even know what these are.
Then we had Voldemort, Kruger, Jack from The Shining, Hannibal Lecter, Darth Vader. And number 1 on the list, the all-time greatest movie villain,
the Riddler?
Allie, you're going to get to yourself. It's the Joker.
It is the Joker. No!
I guess we end with a tie game. This has been Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.